What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Self-Helpless. I'm Delaney Fisher.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And today we are talking about plant-based nutrition. We have an amazing guest today, Dr. Pamela Ferguson. Woo-hoo. Pamela is a registered dietitian with a PhD in nutrition with over 15 years of experience. She runs a private practice as a nutritionist in Canada. She has spoken at several international conferences concerning the plant-based prevention of disease. She's worked with organizations like UNICEF. She serves on leadership teams for Dietitians of Canada and Sustainable Food Systems. We are so excited to have her here. Please welcome Dr. Pamela Ferguson to Self-Helpless.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're very excited to just dive on in. But first, do you have a favorite or least favorite quote you'd like to kick this off with?
I'm just going to say, eat plants and shine your light.
I love it.
That's cute.
That is super cute. Okay, so we got a lot. We have a lot of questions about plant-based nutrition and nutrients and all that good stuff. But before we get into it, would you mind just giving us a little bit of a background on how you got into this area of health and everything like that, what your background is?
Sure. Well, I'm a registered dietitian. I have a PhD in nutrition, and I really got inspired to get into nutrition because I realized when looking at North America and our most common killers, heart disease, diabetes, cancers, that nutrition is one of the biggest modifiable factors that we have in terms of what we control. We can reduce our risk of these diseases and improve our life so we can live with optimal health as much as possible by improving our nutrition. That's the most important factor that we have control over. And so I just thought, why wait to treat disease when we can try to prevent it? And that's why I got excited about nutrition. And when you look at nutrition, the best quality evidence we have tells us that eating a high fiber diet, and fiber comes from plants, eating lots of fruits and veggies, nuts and seeds, whole grains, pulses, that's the way to go in terms of optimizing your health. So I became really passionate about plants.
Awesome. And are you currently on a plant-based diet yourself, and have you always been doing that? Like, what's your kind of personal health background, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. I eat a plant-based diet. I'm also vegan. So I'm vegan for more reasons than just my health. I also care about the animals and about the environment.
Okay.
But I haven't always been vegan, definitely. I was vegetarian for a long time. I was omnivore for a while. But I have been vegan for, 6 or 7 years now, and I love it.
So
I feel great.
I have a question. So when you say plant-based, you can be plant-based and not be vegan?
Yeah, absolutely. Plant-based really refers to your diet. And for some people who are on a plant-based diet, they may just be kind of predominantly plant-based. They may sometimes eat animal products. Some people who talk about being plant-based, they're 100% plant-based, but then they may also say wear leather or, you know, go to the zoo or something like that. And as a vegan, I don't believe in using animals for clothing or entertainment or any way of using animals that, you know, doesn't have their consent. So I wouldn't participate in any of that.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I'm a new vegan, so I have a lot of questions, especially when it comes to nutrition and everything. But Kelsey, Taylor, do you have any Kelsey and Taylor are not vegan or plant-based, and I'm sure you guys probably have a lot of like more burning questions than I might have. So if you do, you guys want to kick it off and then we can just get into it?
Sure. So I eat meat, maybe more than both. Well, Delaney's vegan now, but Taylor, you don't eat that much meat anymore.
I don't
right?
eat that much meat. Yeah. And then I tried to go back and do the paleo thing for a few weeks to see how I would feel. And, I go back and forth, but yeah, for the most part, I don't eat a ton of meat, especially after hanging out with Delaney for extended periods of time. You go, I guess I don't really have to.
But
I am more careful about, like, you know, eating too much bread and sugar and gluten and stuff than I think Delaney is. So like for me, going vegan sounds really, really hard. And she's like, there are vegan cupcakes. And I'm like, I know, but I can't have them.
Right. I wondered if you feel that certain meats are worse than others because people talk about like, oh, red meat is the worst for you. I've heard that for so many years. But then I've also heard people say chicken is the worst because the way that chickens are raised is so inhumane and it's really dirty, all this stuff. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, let's talk just about our health first, our personal health. WHO has recently come out with warnings about particularly highly processed meats. So there you'd have bacon, salami, deli meats, that kind of thing. So those would be, in terms of your health, the most dangerous meats, and they're definitely not good for our hearts. We've known that for a long time. They also increase our risk of diabetes, but now we also understand that they can be carcinogens. And then next would be red meat, and there we would really be saying that the amount of red meat that you're eating, the more red meat that you eat, the more dangerous for your health. And then after that, you know, any diet that contains a very high level of animal protein can be inflammatory. And certainly if you're eating a lot of animal protein and not eating you know, fruits and vegetables and not eating nuts and seeds and whole grains and lentils and all those wonderful things, then you are missing out on a lot of the benefits of plants in terms of disease prevention.
Gotcha.
Then the next thing comes when you start considering animal cruelty. And, you know, when you start looking with a wider lens other than just thinking only about your health, when you look at the food system and consider the animal's experience of being raised, and also you think about the impact on the environment, then definitely chickens, egg farming, dairy farming, these are unfortunately very cruel industries, and they are not good for the environment either. Moving in the direction of a plant-based diet, even if you are still an omnivore, but you move toward a plant-based diet, this reduces your impact on the environment, and also, you know, does reduce the impact of your diet in terms of cruelty to animals as well.
Got it.
Awesome. And there's a lot of discussion about protein when it comes to a plant-based diet. A lot of people think that you cannot get protein on a plant-based diet or enough of it. And can you just kind of explain like where protein comes from and where people get it on a plant-based diet, if it's the same amount or anything that you want to share about that?
You know, I think that myth is starting to go away. I'm going to call it and say that I think that myth is starting to dissipate.
Yeah.
We are so fortunate in Canada to have had a change to our food guide in its recent incarnation to now there is a protein group. And yes, animal proteins are in there, meat as well as dairy, but also plant-based proteins like beans and lentils, nuts and seeds. These are wonderful sources of protein. And the guide recommends that people choose plant-based sources of protein more often. So I think people are starting to get the picture that actually plant foods can be very rich in proteins. Mm-hmm. And we are also seeing a real explosion of meat alternatives. You know, a lot of people who are omnivores have, for example, tried a Beyond Burger now. So people are starting to understand that you absolutely, it's so good, that you absolutely can get your protein without consuming animal products. So I think that myth is going away. And the reality is that protein is found in almost all foods, vegetables, even fruits, all contain some protein. And this adds up throughout your day. And you really, I don't think any of you would have ever found someone who's like hospitalized for a protein deficiency, you know, right. In Canada,
never heard of it.
Don't really ever see that.
Right.
But the reality is that only about 5% of Canadians are meeting their fiber requirements. Almost all of us are meeting our protein requirements. Like, it's almost impossible not to meet them as long as you're eating enough calories. But only about 5% of Canadians are meeting their fiber requirements. So I would just encourage everyone who's listening to just like, if there's one thing you take away, just start eating more fiber. And when you eat more fiber, you're going to decrease your risk of disease. You are going to be so much healthier, and you will automatically be eating more plants because plants are our only source of fiber.
Yeah.
And you poop more.
Yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I was going to say, you know, where do you think that like misconception comes from? Because I would love to think that, that stereotype is going away, but being a new vegan, it's the number one thing people respond with when I tell them that I'm on a plant-based diet is, oh man, you're not going to get enough protein. You better figure that out. And so I would like to think it's diminishing, but I feel like I've been faced with it so frequently that I'm just curious, like, do you have any idea like where that came from or why we believe that, or why we've been kind of raised to believe that?
Oh, I'm really sad to hear that people are still asking you. I feel like I get asked that less often now, but maybe it's just because I've been vegan for longer.
Yeah.
But okay, so if it's constant, then I'm sorry and sad to hear that that's the way it is. You know, I'll give you a really honest answer. I think that it comes partly from this kind of strange tie we have in our culture to masculinity and meat. You know, I just think like strength is associated with big muscles, and that people seem to think that you have to eat meat to grow big muscles, and barbecuing big slabs of meat like is seen as manly and providing for the family and cooking over fire and all this garbage that we totally don't need to buy into this stuff. And as women in particular, we need to really recognize like we do not need to try to compete with them on that level. And we need to also just recognize that compassion is strength, and that we can absolutely meet our needs without needing to be cruel to another being. So I think that we should really examine where this protein thing is coming from. I think it's partly coming from this sort of toxic masculinity thing that is pushed on men and also pushed on women, that we should somehow measure up to this false standard. And then the next thing I think it comes from, unfortunately, is the industry itself targeting through marketing, even targeting children in school where, like, for example, you know, milk is marketed to children in school and they, you know, are taught that they need to have that glass of milk to grow strong, grow healthy bones and all that stuff. And, you know, we allow that. We allow that in our schools for the dairy farmers to distribute their materials and things. And I think we need to look at all of that and realize that that's just marketing. And it's actually not nutrition information. It's people trying to sell a product to our children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calcium is another one where, yeah, people think if you're not drinking milk, you're not getting enough calcium. So, like, where do you get calcium on a plant-based diet?
Well, beans and greens are really the answer to so many questions when it comes to nutrition and a plant-based diet. So beans and greens are wonderful sources of calcium. But I do also recommend that people, if you are drinking a plant-based milk, that you look for a fortified plant-based milk. So when you go to buy, say, your soy milk or your almond milk or your cashew milk or whatever milk you enjoy at the supermarket, just flip the package over and make sure that it is a fortified product. And it will contain, if you buy, and most soy milk or any alternative milk in Canada will be fortified. Right. And they're fortified to the same level of calcium that a dairy milk glass contains. So one glass of milk, whether it's plant-based or dairy milk, will contain about a third of your calcium requirements for the day. So it's just kind of an easy way to top up your calcium requirements. But even if you don't drink plant-based milk, you can definitely meet your calcium requirements just by eating lots of beans and greens and nuts and seeds. Those will be your best sources of calcium.
Sweet.
Yeah, I've always been impressed with that when I look at my almond milk labels. I'm like, oh, I'm knocking out such a big chunk of calcium just in my morning smoothie. What the daily requirement is for fiber?
Probably aim for at least 25 grams. And I might be a bit low there, but most people will be lower than that. So maybe start with that as your goal.
Okay. That's such a staggering statistic that only 5% of Canadians are meeting that. And I don't even know what it is
that's
in America,
right.
But I had another question.
Yeah, you know what? It's just as bad in America.
Yeah, I'm sure. I had another question about deli meat. So I make myself a wrap every day with, like, turkey from the deli. It's not, you know, Oscar Mayer brand. It's from Whole Foods or whatever. But does it even matter if it's, like, something from Whole Foods that seems like it's less processed? Or is any deli meat you are getting processed?
Any deli meat that you're getting is processed, at least somewhat.
Okay.
There are going to be, like, salts and probably nitrates and things that are added as preservatives. You know, you can go for a less processed option. But yes, any deli meat will be at least somewhat processed.
Okay. Dang it. many changes.
Taylor, do you have stuff?
So maybe switch it up. Maybe don't have that sandwich every day. Maybe try and, like, I love, like, a chickpea salad sandwich or a roasted vegetable sandwich with hummus or something. Maybe do that, like,
two
or three days of the week. Try switch it up so that you aren't giving yourself that processed meat every single day.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
Because the dose makes the poison, for sure.
And I appreciate you, like, approaching it in that way, because I'm sure there's a lot of people there that are like, you have to take it all out now, never eat it ever again. And
right.
Thank you for not making me feel like I, you know, need to completely change everything I'm doing.
Hey, yeah, well, everyone has to work at their own pace. And, you know, like, you've developed that habit because you like it and because it's comfortable for you. And so, you know, maybe just experimenting with something else, maybe you'll develop a new habit and then start to move in that direction. So,
yeah,
you know, just
point.
Start and experiment. And yeah, exactly. You have to want to do it.
Yeah.
Yourself.
Dragging right. My feet a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my question is it all kind of intertwined for you as far as, like, your decision to be plant-based and vegan? I mean, is it the animal cruelty? Is it more so that? Is it more so the health issues that come with consuming animal products? I feel like there's so much conflicting information that you read about, like, whether or not animal products are healthy for you. I feel like I buy more into the meat thing and, like, meat not being good for you then like the thing that I get stuck on is eggs. And I feel like there are so many different sources that are like, no, eggs are actually great for you. And then the next day they're like, eggs are the worst thing you could possibly do. And whenever I have tried to go vegan or vegetarian, eggs has always been the one thing that I have a real problem cutting out completely.
Well, I think, you know, this is a common experience. It often is like one food, maybe it's cheese for a lot of people, or it's eggs, that people have difficulty giving up. What I would say about that is that for me, yes, I am motivated by health in terms of eating a plant-based diet, but I'm going to be just 100% honest that the evidence that we have, in my opinion, shows that a predominantly plant-based diet is the healthiest for us. Is there a big difference in terms of your health between being like, say, 80 or 90% plant-based versus being 100% plant-based? I think that it's kind of diminishing returns when you get up to being that. And when I say plant-based, I'm eating actual, like, not vegan cupcakes, like I'm eating actual plants. So that's the picture in terms of your health. When it comes to the environment, I also think that eating a predominantly plant-based diet absolutely will reduce your impact in terms of your water footprint, your greenhouse gas emissions of your diet. So there's no doubt that a plant-based diet is healthier for the environment as well. Could you be mostly plant-based and that's still pretty good for the environment? Yes. When it comes to animal cruelty, for me, there's just really no wiggle room there. Now that the way that I see animals and the agricultural industry, I really just don't want that in my body. And I really don't want my money going to support it at all. So I want nothing to do with it. But, you know, when it comes to eggs, I agree. There is conflicting evidence on the health of eggs. I think it's always going to be conflicting whenever you look at a single ingredient food. And you really need to look at someone's overall diet, what they're eating overall, how often they eat eggs, all that kind of thing in terms of evaluating their diet. But when it comes to the actual life experience of a hen that is raised to lay eggs, that is a miserable life. And there's no getting around that. Even free range or organic, those things really offer very little protections. And we're talking about hens that live in incredibly cramped conditions, mostly having just a little bit more than a sheet of paper space allocated to them, often not getting any access to the outdoors for their entire lives, and just living really uncomfortable lives, and then being slaughtered in the end for meat anyway. So there's no getting around the fact that the egg industry is a cruel industry. And so for me, that's the thing that makes me be 100% vegan is the animals. For my health and for the environment, I think I could be like 85, 90% and that would be okay. But for the animals, I just want nothing to do with it.
I was just gonna ask, is there something in particular, like a documentary you watched or something you read that really cemented that belief for you and that, you know, ideology that you were not going to keep supporting that?
I think it really was a gradual thing. I probably went plant-based originally for kind of a mix of reasons. And I sort of was like, oh, I'm going to go plant-based for a month and see how I feel and that kind of thing. And as I was doing that, I started exploring more like videos online about the agricultural industry. I started watching more documentaries. Absolutely. You know, if you are interested in seeing some movies about animal cruelty, Dominion is one that you can watch online, that are Earthlings, that absolutely will show you what the experience at a slaughterhouse is, that kind of thing. I really did want to, and I come from an agricultural background, actually. My family is a farming family, so I have seen a lot of these things, and I wanted to really explore these things in depth and look at things fairly. And in the end, I came to the conclusion that this industry is a cruel industry and not something I want to support. Even when people are very well-intended, I am in no way vilifying farmers or anything like that. But when you start looking, and I really encourage you to take the time to, like, if you love eggs, but you're feeling a little unsure about the experience of a hen's life, I encourage you to start exploring what that experience is like. Really find out what the experience is like, and then make a decision whether that's something that you want to contribute to or not.
I'm fascinated that you grew up in a farming family. Like, what kind of like farming and stuff background do you and your family have? Like, what were you guys?
So my father grew up on a dairy farm, although my grandparents sold their quota when I was a very young child, so I don't really remember that part that well. My father still farms that land, but he grows crops now. He doesn't have animals anymore. But my aunt and uncle and cousins are beef farmers. I have very good friends that are dairy farmers. And I am still friends with them and still love them, and they are still my family.
Yeah.
But I now just see all of that whole thing very differently.
Wow, that's so interesting. Because, yeah, we did an episode recently. We had a guest on who talked about being a vegan. And I'm just curious, because we did get a lot of emails or messages from people who do work in the farming industry. But I noticed that the people that were emailing in saying that this is misinformation are working on, like, small family farms and not, like, the larger corporations where things are being mass produced. So I'm sure there are differences in how the animals are treated and what's going on. But the ultimate thing is, like, nobody can deny that animals are being killed for us to eat. And all the evidence suggests that we don't actually need to kill them to get those nutrients. And so why do you think people are still so, like, upset with bringing this up? Like, in your opinion, why do you think there's so much pushback on this concept?
Well, listen, you know, we are a country, Canada is a country that was built on agriculture to a large extent. And a lot of us do have family who are farmers, either in the past or currently still. And I just really am, and I hope I've been fair in everything I've said today. I just really encourage each person as an eater to explore what their money is going to support, and just make sure that the things that you are buying at the supermarket, or if you're going to a restaurant or whatever, make sure that what your money is going to support is something you feel comfortable with. And really take the time to find out what it means. If an animal is raised on a family farm, what does that mean? Mm. What is a family farm? How many animals do they have? Do the animals have access to the outdoor? How long do the animals live before they're killed? You know, things like, on a dairy farm, are the male and female calves taken away from their mothers within 48 hours or so after birth, so that, you know, they can be, so that we can take the milk from the mothers? And the male cows are, for the most part, raised for veal. You know, these are things that I think a lot of people who drink milk, for example, don't realize about dairy farms. And if you find all of that out, and you know what the experience of a cow's life is like on a dairy farm, and you still feel comfortable, and that's something that you want to support, then at least you're making an informed decision about what your money is going to support. And to any farmer who's listening, you know, these are decisions you have to make about the business that you're running. And I, you know, respect you as a person, but I think that every person should understand what's involved in producing the food that they are paying for.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Another big thing is B12. Let's talk about B12. People think you can't get B12 on a plant-based diet. I've heard so many differing opinions between take a supplement or you don't need to take a supplement. What is the deal with all that?
So B12 is the one thing that I do think that all vegans, anyone who's eating a fully plant-based diet, should be supplementing. There are some foods that are fortified commonly with B12, but B12 will not be found in whole foods on a plant-based diet. Like, it's not contained in beans and greens like almost every other nutrient is, for example. So the thing about B12, though, a lot of people will use that kind of as proof. They'll say, like, well, this proves that it's not a natural diet for humans. But B12 is actually bacterially produced. It's not produced by any animals. People who eat beef, for example, and they're saying, well, I'm getting my B12 from beef. That beef that they're eating, the cow did not produce the B12 that's in those tissues. The B12 comes from bacteria. So either the cows are getting that bacteria just from eating grains that are, you know, not triple washed or whatever, like our vegetables are. And so there's bacteria in their environment. Or very commonly, actually, farmers will supplement their cattle with minerals, including B12, and then those B12, that B12 is just stored in the animal's tissues. So cows don't produce B12 either. No mammal produces B12. We don't produce it, and neither do cows. So everyone who is getting B12 is getting it from bacteria. So you can either take a supplement directly, which is bacterially produced, or you can, you know, get that through an animal that has stored it in their tissues. But B12 is always produced by bacteria.
I had no freaking clue.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
That's fascinating. Because that's another one that comes up. Protein and B12, you know, that's like when people find out I'm vegan,
sure,
they're so worried I'm just going to crumple into a pile of dust. kind of like going back to the evidence and the stats and everything that we have now regarding a plant-based diet, can you kind of speak a little bit about like heart disease and diabetes and these things, like, are they reversible? Can they be prevented? And like, how do we know that? What kind of studies and research are out there for people to kind of go check out?
Yeah. So in terms of reversing things like heart disease or diabetes on a plant-based diet, that is absolutely possible. But now we're talking about, I kind of don't like this word, but it's sort of a shorthand. People understand what I mean. Now we're talking about a very clean plant-based diet, right? If you're going to reverse disease. But it is possible if you look at the work of Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, and that's for heart disease. And if you look at the work of Dr. Neil Bernard, that's for diabetes, you will see reversal of these conditions with a plant-based diet. If you watch the documentary Forks Over Knives on Netflix, it will show you some of this research evidence. So you can definitely see reversal, but this is, now we're talking about somebody who is eating, you know, a very, very healthy version of a plant-based diet. And then there's also prevention. So in prevention, there we're talking more like someone who's kind of following the 80-20 rule, like eating healthy 80% of the time, maybe with some vegan brownies and that kind of thing thrown in sometimes. And in that case, we do have good epidemiological evidence from really all the major studies that have been done. Epic Oxford study is a good one to look at. The Adventist Health study and Haynes data, even our just national nutrition surveys in Canada, we will always see that a diet high in fruits and vegetables, a diet that is high in fiber, a diet high in whole grains, lentils, beans, these are always the diets associated with greater longevity and less obesity, less heart disease, less diabetes, less cancer.
Awesome. And so one more thing, I'm kind of like a junk food vegan right now, which I'm trying to go more plant-based with everything, but I'm all into the hot dogs and burgers and pizzas and like I realize that's not super healthy. is a kind of junk food vegan diet or a junk food non-vegan diet? Are they kind of equivalent, or still being like a junk food vegan a little bit better for my health?
I think we don't know enough, because there isn't enough research on, I don't even like the term junk food vegan. It's sort of like clean eating. It's a shorthand. Everybody knows what we're talking about. I'm going to tell you, this is not the path to health. But you know what? You don't necessarily have to want to be healthy. You're allowed to say, I don't care about that very much, and I just this is the food I enjoy, and this is the way I want to eat.
Yes.
You know, you don't have a social obligation to eat the healthiest possible diet.
Right.
But if you are actually interested in your health, then I'm going to say, if it is better, it's only very marginally better. And in some ways, unfortunately, it may not be better. So just if you care about your health, don't do that.
Yeah. No, I totally. I needed to hear that. I need some external accountability. Cool. Do you guys have any?
No, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you so much. Dr. Pamela, where can people find you? And also, like, what? You know, I know we're going to get pushback on this episode, unfortunately. A lot of people listen to this show. It's a sensitive topic. So, like, where can people find you? And also, where can people find, like, the most neutral resources out there to kind of dive into this and make their decision about their health or the environment or animals? In your opinion, go for it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you can find me, first of all, on Instagram at drpamela.rd and on Facebook at drpamela.rd. And I have a website at pamelaferguson.com. In terms of finding out about what happens in the agricultural industry, I actually encourage people to look at a wide range of places. Look at government websites. Look even at industry websites themselves. Look at PETA. Look at both sides of the issue and decide where you feel the truth is and what your comfort level is. If there are any farms that offer open days close to you, go and visit those farms and just try to find out, because to me, we don't need to ever exaggerate the realities of what is happening on farms. Just the real truth of what really honestly is happening is enough for me to make most people uncomfortable.
Gotcha.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I've definitely learned a lot today.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And you're the bomb. So
Thanks for having me. And I want to finish up by just saying that just start with whatever, even if it's talking about you moving away from being more a junk food vegan, just start with like whatever you can do.
Yes.
Even if it's just bringing a fruit snack with you to work or whatever. Like,
right.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to do everything all at once. Do what you can do. For anyone who's listening who really thinks that they can't eat a plant-based diet, like, start with just some hummus and veggies. Everybody likes that. Like, you know, just start with what you can do.
Totally. I'm about 50-50 right now, so I think I can swing the other way. I'll inch closer to it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's great. That's perfect. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, have a good rest of the day.
Thank you.
All right. She was awesome.
Dude, I learned a lot. That B12 stuff blew my mind.
Yeah.
Why don't we know this stuff?
I know.
What is happening? I've been getting reamed for B12 on and off for the past 5 years being a vegan or whatever, going back and forth. And I should have just looked it up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my bad.
Well,
that's my bad, people.
You would have gotten all kinds of different information.
That's true.
Good point.
That's
good point.
True.
The internet. It's a garbage fire.
Yes.
So very true.
On. Wow.
I think it's fascinating that she grew up in a farming family or, you know, agriculture family, and then was not raised a plant-based or vegan, and then made that decision. And she kind of talked about kind of easing into it, right? She was an omnivore, then she kind of went vegetarian, then she went plant-based. I think it's really, I just think that speaks volumes to, you know, if anybody's going to be sensitive about the topic of veganism, it's going to be somebody who comes from a farming family. And she says, I'm still friends with all of them. I love them. That's the thing. It's like, it's not about making people out to be evil. That's just not what this whole situation is, at least when it comes to me. It's like, okay, I'm trying to do low waste stuff. I'm a minimalist, and my dad works. He produces plastic bottles. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
It's like, I don't think my dad's a bad dude. Do I want to work for the company? No. Like, my values are not really matching with that.
Right.
But I love him. He supported his family that way. He's a great person. But if I can look at it objectively, like, I love my dad. I don't really want more plastic bottles in the universe.
Right.
But like, you know, that it's his livelihood. You know, if I really needed a job, I would probably work there. But if I have options, I'm probably not going to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not his fault. That's what the market is wanting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anytime that he's ever tried to go like more eco-friendly with packaging or something, they have issues with like the labels not staying on properly or the ink not staying on. It's like, so the plastic bottles are still in high demand. But he's like, look, as soon as people want to buy the other stuff, I'm switching to that because that's how business works. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's just, it's unfortunate. It would be a shift. But like, as long as this is what people are buying, this is what we keep selling and producing. And so I think it's also important to kind of separate the emotionality out of business, whether it's a dairy business, meat business, whatever you're running, it's a business. And yes, it's unfortunate when businesses have to change or fail, but there are other options and alternatives, and you can start growing or selling the things that people want. Did you see the new Queer Eye, by the way? They had a farmer on that was talking about like the decline, and they have to sell the cows because people are not really buying dairy anymore, and they're all the plant alternatives are, and he's turning his farm into like a more like pumpkin patch type of event place where people can come and eat and pet the animals and all that stuff. And it's like, okay, like it changed, but it's like, if we, I have a hard time with saying that, you know, as a business, you're a victim in a way. I don't really agree with that point of view. Do I think my dad is a victim if people wanted to stop buying plastic bottles? No, I think he runs a business and he has to shift.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when it's like, oh, poor dairy farmers, I understand, because that's hard to shift that way. But I don't think they're the real victims. So I kind of wanted to say that. I think it's interesting that I didn't even know before we booked her that she grew up in that industry.
I know. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you guys feel about everything?
I mean, we're coming at it from a very different place than you are.
Yeah.
You are much more invested in this topic.
Totally.
And we're kind of more like curious.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
vicurious.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Oh, with the dad
jokes. No, I mean, the more we talk about it, the more I get it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's figuring out what you as a person are able to do. And it's certainly encouraged me to eat less meat. And I've been doing that the last few years. And
same.
Again, it depends when you're traveling. Like,
sure.
You know, if I worked from home, it might be a lot easier for me to go, you know, there's all these kinds of things that I can get. Whole Foods is right there. But when you are traveling, or people who work long hours or whatever your reasoning is.
Sure.
You know,
accessibility is a big
yeah,
one.
Accessibility
totally.
And convenience. And so I understand why people are so like, you know, up in arms about it. But also at the end of the day, it's like, it's a personal choice. But I mean, all the environment stuff is hard to disagree with. That's like, that's the thing I get stuck on.
And I think, because you have a lot of questions about the egg stuff or whatever. And the things that I've been hearing about is like, yes, I guess there's nutrients in eggs, but along with the nutrients, there's other stuff that are not as beneficial. And so you can get those nutrients from other places without the negative stuff. That's what I hear about eggs. Because I know that's like a big kind of like pain point for you.
Yeah.
Is the egg thing. So I don't know. I thought it was fascinating. And, you know, again, it's like, there's not really much I can say, because I don't feel like getting more hate mail about this.
Right.
So, yeah.
I appreciated how not shaming she was.
Oh, yeah.
She was
totally.
So, like, do what you can.
Yeah.
And also, if you don't want to change anything, okay.
Like, yeah.
That's your life. That's totally fine.
Totally.
You do you. I really like how she just encouraged us to take any steps that we felt comfortable with.
Yeah.
And rather than telling me, like, oh, I can't believe you still eat deli meat, I can make a change to have a hummus wrap once a week instead, or a roasted veggie thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all we can really do here. So the thing is, like, most of us, we're not born and raised vegan. We know what it's like to be eating meat and to have that part of our routine and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not like all or nothing. Most people don't change overnight and wake up vegan the next day.
Right.
That's just not usually how it works. There's a lot of things that kind of go into are into play. So
all right, you want to do some quick segments?
Yeah.
I will say I'm trying to do a little bit of a treat yourself with how I travel. I just had a very hellish flight experience. My flight got delayed like 8 hours. I was in the JFK airport, and then the flight itself back to LA was 7 hours. Just like a really long flight. All these kids around me were screaming and coughing and hacking the whole time. And it was just so, it was just not pleasant. And I think it's time for me to actually invest in some like nice noise canceling headphones, you know, those expensive Bose ones where I've been like, I don't need it. I've got my own. But just the more I talk with other comics who fly a lot, they're like, do whatever you need to do to make that time in the sky as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to keep doing it. So why not invest in something like noise canceling headphones, a nice sleep mask. Yeah. I'm using a flimsy one that came for free with a neck pillow. You know, it's just, there are so many things you can do. So part of mine and Kane's wedding gifts were some Amazon gift cards. So I used those yesterday to start buying some new things. I bought some new luggage.
Nice. That's nice.
Yeah, I've been kind of dragging my feet on investing in that and making myself feel more comfortable. But I'm taking those steps to make it better.
Good. Nice.
Yeah.
I had a treat yourself this week that was born out of necessity, but I canceled a date this weekend. I was supposed to go to Detroit and do like a cool gig, and I just can't. There's a lot of personal stuff going on right now, and I couldn't do it. And I just said to my reps, like, can you let them know I can't come?
Yeah.
And you know, it's, I have to be better about doing that. I just have to be better about going like, I can't do this. I can't do this right now. And also, I went back to see my psychiatrist this week to get on some stuff. So, you know, everyone's taking care of themselves the best they can.
Yeah. I have a good shit slash the fuck. I finally tried aerial yoga.
Ooh,
everybody.
Whoa.
I've gone twice. It is terrifying. I'm kidding. No, I mean, it is kind of. But oh my God, you guys. The first class, I'm thinking this is level one intro. No, you go upside down the first class. You are hanging up upside down, like suspended in the air. Anyway, so I don't know if you've tried it. Have you guys ever tried it or seen what it is? So it's like you're hanging from like a long sheet or silk,
like cloth,
or whatever they call it, cloth or whatever. But what's interesting, I didn't know about it. I thought you were just going to be kind of like hanging on this like swing situation. It's actually like 9 feet long to where you can put your whole body inside of it. So some of the times, like you're like stretching and stuff in this like freaking hanging cocoon situation. And then sometimes you're wrapping it around your body so you can do different moves and stuff. I am terrible at it and I feel so bad for the instructor. But I was like in my cocoon. And we're about to like go upside down, and you guys, I queefed so loud.
My God.
Very on brand.
I am like queefing upside down in this cocoon suspended from the ceiling, and the instructor is like trying to like help me like get into the right spot, but
while
I'm like
holding her breath.
Oh my God, I don't want her to come closer because I don't want her to hear me keep like queefing, but I also really need this help. So just like in the air, you know, about to pass out, you know, queefing upside down in my cocoon.
What is amazing.
So
life.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. I bought a package of 3 classes because they have like a new client deal. So I have to go at least another time because I've gone twice. I don't know if it's for me, but I'm glad I tried it.
Maybe you need to keep like a tampon in when you go, just like silence it.
Dude, you know what? I had my my cup in. So, okay, this is what I think is the issue because I was so scared because it's freaking scary being suspended from the ceiling and going upside down when you're not used, your body's not used to being upside down hanging out. And so, you know, when you get scared and you just kind of get a little moist, that happens to you guys, right?
Like, no, I don't get wet when I'm afraid.
What? Yeah. You don't? Like, if you, okay.
Fear doesn't get me
like,
wet.
Sweaty?
No, you get like, you know, have you ever been on like a roller coaster and you get off the roller coaster and you're like, oh my God, I'm you know.
Because you're afraid?
I'm scared, and that's why I think what's going on. And so it's just making a lot more noises than usual.
Oh, my God.
It was not my ideal first experience. The second time was a little bit less scary, but
Same amount of queefy.
But I was like, I was so nervous to queef the whole time. So
is this like a common thing?
I did
with you?
Put a tampon in because I'm like, I cannot queef this time.
I can't believe so, this.
I don't, because it's a small space and it's like quiet music. So if I queef, everybody hears it. There's five of us. Okay. You guys,
is queefing like a common thing that happens to you?
No. That's why I was
only
so surprised.
Only when you're nervous.
But here's the thing. There's nothing I can do about it because I'm upside down. It's like my
right.
legs.
Yeah.
My legs are like this and I'm queefing.
Oh, Delaney.
Oh my gosh.
I
will not go to this class.
We should all try it together.
No.
I think you guys would
be really
good at it.
Yeah, you're not selling it.
Anyway, I don't think I'll be going back to the queef cocoon, but that was my experience. I'm glad I tried it. Now I will never have to wonder if it's for me because it's not.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God. Okay.
We love you.
You know what it is.
Please don't send me hate mail after this episode. Thank you so much. Love you. Bye. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show, our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And yeah. You can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, KelseyCook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
And I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram and TTomComedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys.
So much.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye-bye.